love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On, why settle for less?
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to. Hello, Steve.
Nice of you to see me, Claire.
You don't mean that at all. But I don't mind. You're one of the few people I can bear to see before lunch. Have you eaten? I'll ring room service.
I'd rather talk without interruption. If you have it, a cup of coffee.
Help yourself. The electric perk is on. I feel I must do something with this lavish kitchenette suite Tony pays for.
If it isn't lavish enough, let me know.
Well, you're sounding like an important lawyer again.
Thank you. I've just had a rather nasty reminder that I'm not.
Oh? What happened?
I had an appointment with your husband at his request. But when I arrived at his office, I found he'd left town. He either chose to forget it or to ignore it.
Well, I talked to Tony yesterday. He didn't say anything about leaving. Where's he going?
Oh, Gloria's the perfect secretary. She wouldn't tell me, but by maneuvering around her desk, I found out.
No wonder you came in with that look of success.
Claire, I am not a house detective in a dime novel.
Oh, all right. Well, where is Tony?
In Maine.
Maine? Doing what? Deer stalking?
In a manner of speaking. You haven't forgotten, have you, that Kate Wakefield is up in Maine now?
Thank you for reminding me.
And I told you that she and I have some business dealings. We had a little talk recently that I thought would result in a trip to Maine. And I was right.
Stephen, stop being so mysterious. You already hinted that Kate was looking for something you needed. You know, I'm really quite annoyed. You told me I didn't have to do anything to bring Tony to heel. Just sit tight, you said, and here he is running 600 miles into the woods after this girl, Kate.
It isn't the woods, Claire. No, it's a little island Kate was left by her late husband. Gull Island.
What difference does it make? I am beginning to think Tony is really serious.
Then why don't you divorce him?
Stephen, if that's what you came to tell me this morning, thanks but no thanks. I do not intend to be a divorced woman. I prefer the continental system where a woman can do anything she likes as long as she keeps her name and position. A divorced woman is nothing.
Shall I go on, Claire?
How do you know Kate Wakefield so well, anyhow?
I thought we'd come to that.
You are on my side, aren't you? I mean, I'll do the same for you someday.
Indeed you will, my dear, someday. I knew Kate because I knew her husband.
Yes, so you said.
Tom was a handsome, well-born young man with a weakness.
He sounds fascinating.
Oh, I'm sure he was, to Kate. But you see, he developed a taste for heroin.
Oh, I see.
Yes, and to support it, he indulged in some very curious activities.
You mean like a crime?
like a major one.
Well, I can hardly wait to tell Tony.
No, don't you do that. This must be kept entirely between us, Claire.
You mean you can't prove it?
I'm getting the evidence together. In fact, Kate's getting it for me, although she doesn't know it.
Well, how very neat.
Incidentally, out of it, I expect to make about $1 million. Does that interest you?
Everything you do interests me, Stephen. Why have you told me all this right now?
To assure you that you can keep Tony around as long as you want him.
Oh, Stephen. Oh, I knew I could count on you. And what do I do in return for all this?
You know a lot of important people, Claire. Newcomers, since I left the scene.
Of course. You must meet them, Stephen.
Thank you. And it might be a good idea to make a friend of Kate Wakefield.
Me?
It might prove useful.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Tony, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Hi there. Anybody around?
Tony! Well,
oh,
hi.
Oh, that boy over there told me you were here, but I thought I'd better announce myself.
Well, how in the world did you get here?
Plane from the city, a car from Bangor, and over to the island on that speedboat at the end of the dock.
Oh, boy. How did you know where we were?
That's a long story. Where's Kate?
She's up there in the cottage.
No joyous welcome?
Well, give her time.
She all right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, is she or isn't she?
You know, she's fine.
I called the Wheeler house from a gas station along the road. Kate wouldn't talk to me. Mrs. Wheeler said she was out.
You came on anyhow.
You bet I did. What's Kate doing up in this jumping off place?
Well, now, don't begin that way, Tony, or you'll never get through to her. You know, she spent the happiest years of her life here, she says. She's been living them over.
Uh-oh. I better get back in that motorboat.
No, Tony. No. She's been through enough. She spent 4 hours here in a bad storm yesterday.
Alone?
Well, let her tell you.
Who was with her?
I said let her tell you.
Does she know I'm here?
Yeah?
Well, she'd rather stay up there in the house.
Tony, this is no time for male chauvinism.
Oh, come on, Trudy. I put in 7 hours of travel, but I still don't want to be where I'm not wanted.
You're wanted. That's the trouble.
Maybe Kate better tell me that.
She doesn't know how.
I don't get it.
Look, I saw you arrive first. I called her to the window. I saw her face when she said, "It's Tony." Now look, Tony. She's had a bad time, and you're a married man.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Trudy, don't let's start on that again. Don't those seagulls ever stop squawking?
Kate loves them.
I'm a little short of temper, I guess.
I don't blame you.
Well, what do I do?
Now, look, Tony, I'm not running interference or helping a cause where there's trouble at the end of it.
What does that mean?
I know what getting mixed up with the wrong guy means.
Thanks. I've come a hell of a long way to hear that.
You haven't heard anything yet. It's up to you and Kate. I'm going back.
Well, wait. I'll take you both back.
No, no, not me. See that kid out there, Joey? Well, he's my gondolier. That little job he's sitting in is his boat. Now, I can't disappoint either one of them.
Trudy, does Kate want to see me?
When I saw you coming, I told her she'd better stop kidding herself. She burst into tears.
tears.
You'll figure it out.
Kate?
I'm out here, Tony.
Oh, darling.
Tony. That was a hug.
The kiss wasn't bad either.
Oh, Tony, I don't know what to say.
Nothing. Just nothing. Oh, darling.
Let me get my breath.
Come on, let's go inside.
No, no, not there, please.
Why? Anybody in there?
No, yes, Tony, my whole past life is in there. What's happened?
We're in love.
It's absurd. You here on Gull Island coming out of nowhere.
Stop thinking, Kate. It's us. And we both know it.
I don't know that it can be.
I'm going to get a divorce, Kate. Claire can't keep me tied up forever.
No, I wasn't thinking about Claire.
That's all that keeps us apart. You know that. It's been there since the first day we met. We're going to be married.
Oh, Tony.
Kate, please. Don't keep me away.
Tony, I've got something that I must talk to you about.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Finalnet Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On. So economical, yet so effective.
My dear listeners, the weather is cold and gray, chilling one's body and soul. Would you not like a warming chapter of Vanity Fair, bringing a bit of sunlight into the dreary day? As this novel's author, William Makepeace Thackeray, I can and will write such an interlude, except, of course, when my wayward characters wrest my pen from me and do as they please. Today, be assured, I've a firm hold on my quill, a firm plan in mind, and no upstart can swerve me from my purpose. The sunniest of my people is Becky Sharp. I've said before, what is best in her is her great good humor. So we are safe and snug to occupy ourselves with her. First, we shall have to look in upon her patient, Miss Matilda Crawley. Aunt Becky will be along. Wait, we'd best keep our distance. This Crawley appears to have been transformed into a raging lioness. The ailing lady, ailing, has just thrown her French novel across the room, smashed her medicine glass, and flung a candlestick to the floor, all of which brings Becky at a run into the room.
Miss Crawley, what on earth?
I am tired of this house. I am tired of doctors. I am tired of you forcing medicine down my gullet and keeping me in this house. Did you hear me?
It would be very hard not to hear you. I should have to be as far away as Buckingham Palace not to hear.
And I am tired of your sass. I am not Sir Pitt. I do not allow any person in my employ to speak to me as if she's mistress here. Is that understood, Miss Sharp?
Quite.
Now then, why do you keep me in this house? Answer me that.
I keep you here because you are not well. To venture out into the rain, sleet, and snow of the London winter would be to court worse illness than already you have.
A very tidy excuse. Now I shall tell you in truth why you keep me suffocating here. If you confess I'm well enough to go out, then I've no more need of you, have I? I'd be well enough to send you back to Queen's Crawley.
Miss Crawley!
My continuing illness assures your continuing stay in London.
You will excuse me, please. I have something to attend to.
Pray, what have you to attend to but me?
I no longer have you to attend. What I've to attend to now is packing my trunk to return to Queen's Crawley, where Sir Pitt, whom you so despise, at least has the kindness and good manners and sensibility not to treat me like the lowest chimney sweep.
You'd not dream of going back there, and don't pretend you would.
I am going back. If you've need of anything, you've only to ring for Miss Briggs.
Oh, Becky, I didn't... Oh, Becky! Rebecca, you come straight back here! Where is my bell? Rebecca! Rebecca, stop! Oh, what have I done? What have I done? Oh! Briggs! Arabella! Come here this instant! Oh, now I've no bell. I've thrown it away. Alone, and no one will come. I shall die here all alone. Oh! Becky?
No, Matilda, it's Arabella.
Oh! Why didn't you come at once? You heard the bell.
I didn't know it was for me. You don't ring for me anymore.
And don't want you now. I want Rebecca. Go and fetch her. Say I want her at once. Well, go. Don't stand about. Go.
I shall, but you're weeping, Matilda. Are you in pain?
Oh, can't you see I'm dying? Will you go?
Yes, yes, I'm going.
Oh, no, 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 no. Come back here. I'm very sorry I spoke to you as I did. I am a wicked, foul-tempered old woman. Those who are kindest to me, I treat like chimney sweeps. If you can, forgive me. Now fetch Rebecca.
May I say something before I...
No, just go. You bore me. Everyone bores me, save Rebecca.
Who is it?
Arabella Briggs.
Oh, I'm sorry, I... Oh, why not? Yes, Miss Briggs?
Miss Crawley asked that you come at once. She seems very agitated. Do please hurry, Miss Sharp.
You may tell Miss Crawley I am not coming now or ever.
Does Rebecca mean this rubbish? Is this a way to endear Miss Crawley to her? To smooth the path to marrying Rawdon? What am I to do with this girl? Again takes matters into her own hands. I intended she should take Miss C for a drive. Well, wait a bit, dear listeners. Then we shall see.
Not coming, Miss Sharp. time to take Miss Crawley such a message as that.
Did she send me a message other than the order to come?
Why, no.
No apologies, nothing?
She did apologize to me for something between us, but not else.
I thought not. Then my message to Her Royal Highness still stands.
But why will you not come? What on earth is wrong?
If you will but look into my room, you will have your answer.
Your trunk?
Yes.
Your pack?
Yes. Yes, to return to Queen's Crawley. Did I not promise you I'd go when she was well? She is well.
Oh, no, I don't think it. She seems not herself.
She is quite herself. Could you have heard her a while past, you would know it.
Miss Rebecca, she didn't look well nor sound well when I was with her just now. And she's asking for you. Surely you must go to her, not leave her at such a time.
Dear Miss Briggs, how kind you are. I've taken your place here, and you've wanted me gone. But now that I'm going, you think only of your friend.
Well, it wasn't so much that I wanted you gone. You do brighten the house, and you amuse Matilda. Tis a gift I don't have. It was that I wanted her friendship again.
That is very kindly put, and I thank you. But you're still to take my message to Miss Crawley. I am not going to her now or ever. When Giles comes back, she is walking poof-poof. Please, tell her to come here at once. She must pack, too. You will tell her?
Of course.
Ah, and when Captain Rawdon comes tonight, say to him that I've taken the stagecoach to Queen's Crawley. Oh, well, not that he'll care. He, like you, will be relieved. Now, if you will excuse me, I must get on with my packing. Becky, I thought you'd never...
Oh, you again. Where's Rebecca?
She sent you a message, Matilda. I greatly fear you'll not like it.
Why must you always mince words? What is the message?
She is not coming now or ever again.
What?
She's packing her trunk.
She is not.
And she wishes Giles to come and pack hers.
So, this is her gratitude for all I've done. This her thanks for my kindness and generosity. Let her send her sassy messages. Let her pack her trunk. Let the little ingrate return to Queen's Crawley. And I wish her joy of it.
Oh, I am as angry as Miss Crawley, and with reason. Rebecca Sharp has taken my book away from me again. After all I've done for her, moved her up in the world, gave her a devoted lover, taught her how to... How indeed. Let her return to Queen's Crawley, and I wish her joy of it. And as for Monday, I don't know, ladies and gentlemen, my novel is all apart. Well, come back if you will, as I'm not at all sure that I shall. As nevertheless, I am your devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Say, maybe you know, what's the difference between Miss Clairol shampoo formula and Miss Clairol cream formula? I mean, they're both labeled natural wear.
They both give you great-looking hair color.
So what's the difference?
Well, the shampoo formula is quick and easy.
And a great way to cover that first gray.
What's more, it conditions as it colors.
What about the cream formula?
The cream formula is extra rich color, and it conditions too. It's the hair color hairdressers use to cover lots of gray, to make a more dramatic color change and still have that soft, natural look.
Oh, what do you think I need?
Try Miss Clairol shampoo formula. You don't have much gray, and you'll get a fresh young color.
What do you use?
I use Miss Clairol Cream Formula. I've been using it for about 5 years.
Why? You don't have any gray.
Does she or doesn't she?
Oh.
See, you didn't even know.
Well, you sold me. And I suppose that natural wear means the color wears naturally.
Right. Miss Clairol Shampoo Formula or Cream Formula. To know you're the best you can be.
What's that car doing out in the driveway? It pulled up about 15 minutes ago, turned off the lights, and nobody's getting out.
I suppose it's Debbie. There was something went on school tonight. I imagine Clark or Billy gave her a ride home.
Why, they're just sitting out in the car.
I suppose he's kissing her.
Kissing her?
Well, she's 16. If nobody wanted to kiss her, we'd have that to worry about.
I'm going to turn on the porch light so they know we know they're out there.
I guess they know we know, or they'd have come in the house. Aunt Maggie, would you hand me the back section of the paper, dear?
Oh, yes, dear. I don't suppose it's any of my business, but I don't think Debbie is with either Clark or Billy. Because it's the same car that has driven up several times lately. And once the man got out, and it was not Clark or Billy.
The man? What do you mean, the man? Then hurry up and tell us, because the car's just driving off, so Debbie will be in here.
Nothing to tell, except that he looked a much older fellow. That's all I know.
Why didn't you tell us, for heaven's sake?
You get right in the house, young lady. Who was that out there in the car with you?
Now, just a minute, Bob. Don't fly off the handle. Now, give Debbie a chance to explain.
What is there to explain?
Who drove you home? Who was that?
A friend of mine.
What friend?
Don't I have a right to any private life of my own?
Yes, you do, as long as what you do is public knowledge around here. Now we'll start at the beginning. What is his name? Debbie?
Walker.
Walker what?
Not Walker what. Vinnie Walker. Vincent. Only everyone calls him Dutch.
Dutch? Walker doesn't sound like a Dutch name.
It's just a nickname.
It's not important. How old is he? Debbie?
Your mother asked you a question. How old is he?
All right. He's 22.
22? He certainly looked older than that to me.
Well, what's Aunt Maggie been doing, spying on me?
Now, don't you talk to Aunt Maggie like that.
I just happened to look out the kitchen window last week when he drove you home a couple of afternoons last week. Perhaps I better go upstairs.
No, not at all. You stay right here, Aunt Maggie. This is a family matter, and you're certainly a part of the family.
That's right. How old is he, Debbie? Debbie?
Answer your mother.
All right. He's 34.
Oh, 34?
I said he looked older.
Well, what are you doing going out with a man of 34? You're 16.
Age has nothing to do with it.
Well, at this point, age has everything to do with it. Where did you meet him? What does he do? Going out with a man 20 years older?
He's not 20 years older. He's only 18 years older.
What happened to Clark and Billy? I thought you were with one of them. It was only a few weeks ago you had a crush on Clark.
I did not have a crush on Clark, as you put it. Anyhow, Clark and Billy are children.
So are you.
I'm 16. And as Aunt Maggie has pointed out many times, her grandmother was married at 16 and had 3 children before she was 20.
That was a long time ago, Debbie, and things have changed quite a bit.
And my grandmother was practically a pioneer. Near woman. Going out west, they built their own log cabin, fought off the Indians. I remember one story she told. The Indians came around when her husband, my grandfather, had driven to Mountain City in the horse and buggy for supplies. Well, she was terrified, but the Indians turned out to be perfectly lovely.
Yeah, Aunt Maggie, it's fascinating, but I'd like to get to the bottom of this.
Oh, it's impossible to tell a story around here.
Well, Aunt Maggie, we just want to hear about Debbie.
Well,
now,
I don't know what you want to hear about.
Well, how long have you known this Dutch Walker?
3 weeks.
Where did you meet him?
In the drive-in. He works there.
Oh. Drive-in what?
Drive-in movie, I suppose. Is that right, Debbie? I don't care about that. What I want to know is this. If he's 34 years old, is he married?
He's divorced.
Divorced? You're going out with a divorced man?
It wasn't his fault. His wife never understood him.
Really. And you do?
Yes.
At 16, you understand him?
Yes.
He works at the drive-in. You mean he owns it, he manages it, or what? Or does he just tell people where to park their cars?
Well, he's not the real manager, but he does manage it. And he collects the money, the receipts at night, and has to put it away.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Let's get back to something more important. He's divorced. Children?
Yes, 2.
What are they and how old are they?
2 girls, 8 and 10. That has nothing to do with us.
What does that mean? You can't think that you're in love with him, Debbie.
Why not?
Debbie!
Now, look here, young lady. You are not even to see him again.
We're in love! I don't care about school anymore, and he has asked me to marry him. Oh. So he's not just some playboy, as you think.
You are not quitting school. You have known him 3 weeks.
And you would even think of marrying some clown who's 20 years older?
18! mean?
A 34-year-old guy divorced with two kids who earns a living parking cars at a drive-in? That's a future?
I have a right to lead my own life, and I'm going to my own room.
Well, if I can put my 2 cents in, I'd say that you two handled that all wrong.
Oh, you've never had children, that Maggie.
I know. That's why I can be more objective. So if you'd like some free advice...
34 years old and she's 16, I'll kill him.
Before Bob does that, Aunt Maggie, what is your free advice?
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Debbie, can we come in? Debbie, unlock your door. Mommy and Daddy want to talk to you.
Come in, but there's no point in talking to you. I know what you're going to say.
No, I don't think you do, Debbie. I've had a talk with your folks.
Debbie, look at your room. Clothes and books and junk all over the place.
Honey, Mother. This is not the time for that, okay?
No, I'm sorry.
Now, don't start picking on Debbie just when we've decided to make her life a little happier.
Yes, of course. Debbie, Daddy and I are sorry we were so cross, and we're going to try to understand your point of view, which Aunt Maggie pointed out to us, and we feel that she is right.
Well, what point of view?
Well, honey, we know what it's like to be in love.
And you do have a right to your own opinions, your own ideas, your own ideals, your own life. Now, please try to remember we love you. And all Daddy and I and Aunt Maggie want is for you to be happy, dear.
That's right. Oh, she's Daddy's girl, and she knows Daddy loves her, don't you?
Yes.
So, we'd like to meet this... I mean, your duck. I suppose he's busy nights at the drive-in, so could he come for dinner Sunday? We'll eat early, 3 or 4. Could we meet him?
Oh, yes, sure. He wants to meet you, too.
Oh, good.
But Sunday isn't too good because I have to study for my finals.
Oh. Well, if you're getting married soon, does it matter?
What do you mean?
Well, your mother means you don't need to study anymore.
Frankly, Debbie, and we want to be honest, Daddy and I didn't want you to get married so soon. 16 is so young. And you'll be a stepmother with one of the children only 6 years younger than you are. And believe me, Debbie, bringing up teenage children isn't easy. As you can see, bringing you up.
Look, we'll discuss all that when Dutch comes to dinner.
Oh, of course, sure. Is Dutch contributing toward the support of his children?
Oh, of course, Mother. He's a wonderful father.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad to hear it. And I don't want you to think I'm saying anything against him. But please remember that for the next 15 or 20 years, whatever money he makes, a good portion of it will be going for the support of his ex-wife and the education and support of the children.
Peg, we agreed we were not going to discourage Debbie.
Well, I'm sorry, Deb. In all honesty, as a mother and because I love you, I had to get it in. It is, dear, quite important. And I just hope we brought you up to, you know, think of them, remember all the angles.
I don't think angles is a word we should talk about where love is concerned. One can always live on love and rainwater.
Mother, yeah. I don't quite believe all this. You and Daddy don't mind if I quit school and get married now?
Well, of course we mind.
Right. Yes, of course we mind. But what can we do about it, Debbie? And nothing, really. You can always elope. But if you insist on it, I'd like a wedding. Please?
A Christmas wedding would be lovely. My friend Clara's daughter had a Christmas wedding. It was just lovely. Everybody in red and white, and with the church decorated with holly and pine boughs and red candles. And it was just beautiful.
You want to go to church tomorrow, Debbie, and talk to the minister?
Tomorrow I'm being initiated into the National Honor Society.
Well, oh, hey, really? Congratulations, Debbiekin.
Well, then, let's get out of here. Debbie has studying to do. We just wanted you to know, Debbie, that what you want is what we want.
Oh, just want you to be happy because we love you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
Come on, dear, come on. Let's get out. Let her study. We're with you, honey. We really are. You decide.
Sure we are. We love you, honey. Mommy and Daddy love you.
And your Aunt Maggie does, too.
Come on. Let her study, even if it doesn't matter. Come on, close the door. Well, I hope you're right, Aunt Maggie.
I know I am. Debbie doesn't want to get married. She just doesn't want you objecting to it. I majored in psychology.
Yeah, well, if Debbie does get married, I'm going to flunk you.
Don't worry. Next week she'll have a new boyfriend. Debbie's not going to work and earn money to support some other woman's children.
Well, I hope you're right. Oh, it is so hard to bring up children.
Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Well, Jason, it's good to get away from the hospital for a time, even if it's only for a quick lunch.
Well, I thought we could talk better here, Marsh.
Yes, yes, I know, and we do have to talk.
Yes. You're up to date on Jennifer's condition.
I saw her this morning, briefly.
And what do you think?
Jason, I hate to say it, but there is evidence of brain damage.
Yes, I know, but do you think it's permanent?
It's too early to tell. I think she's made a remarkable recovery so far. I mean, it's incredible that she should have been under the water for 45 minutes in that freezing cold and, well, and still be alive.
Yes, I know. Well, we have Joe Gonzalez to thank for that, Marsh. You know, I suddenly remembered it was Jennifer's idea that we invite him to spend Thanksgiving with us at the cabin.
That certainly demonstrates the importance of making every effort at resuscitation, even when there's been lengthy submersion.
Yeah, well, more lives would be saved if people knew that.
Jason, do you want to release the story to the papers?
Well, Marsh, from a personal viewpoint, no. But as a public information matter, well, let me talk to Lynn about it.
Oh, that's right. Your sister has newspaper experience.
Yes.
Can I freshen up your coffee?
Oh, yes, thank you.
And how about dessert?
Not today. Jason?
No, thanks.
If you change your mind.
Thank you.
Marsh, what are we going to do about Emily?
Well, right now she's very involved with Jennifer.
And she will be until we know if there's any real brain damage.
Jason, listen. Jennifer's going to get well, and Emily isn't. Now, I hate to say that, but it's true.
You hate to say it. My God, ever since Szabo said Cordoma... Marsh, I just don't know how to tell her.
But don't you see? She's got to know. I promised her I would tell her when I found out what was wrong
with
her.
Well, when you made that promise, did you ever think you'd have to tell her she has a brain tumor?
God, no. But, Jason, that doesn't change matters.
Marsh, I simply can't tell Emily now.
You can't put it off forever. I can't let you do it, Jason. And that brain tumor has a time limit, too.
Angela, I'm spending so much time here at Jefferson Hospital, I think I should get a uniform.
All right, then, Emily. Let's take a break. The coffee shop usually isn't crowded at this hour. Let's go on down.
Oh, Trish can stay with Jen.
Oh, well, actually, Joe's with her now.
Well, maybe I should...
No. Let Joe work with her. Oh, come on. Here's the elevator.
Excuse me. You, finished your Christmas shop?
Well, fortunately, I had most of it done before we went up to the cabin.
You've always been great at planning ahead.
It's never come in so handy before.
Is Bobby going back to Harvard soon?
Not right away. After Jennifer's accident, he asked for permission to do some independent study here at home.
Oh, that's good. What's he working on?
Something in the area of environmental medicine.
And that's a whole new field of medicine. Ah, here we are.
Excuse me.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you. Has Joe had anything to say to you about Jennifer?
Nothing. Except he does not think the brain damage is permanent.
Oh, I just can't believe it is. But when will he know?
When he's going to schedule a neurological examination next week. Here, let's help ourselves to the coffee.
Well,
there you go.
Thanks. I only hope he doesn't ask Dr. Szabo to do it.
Why?
Well, she'll be in high school before we get the results.
You mean because Jason hasn't heard from him yet?
Or Marsh. Well, I suppose I really shouldn't worry. No news being good news. I have plenty to think about with Jennifer.
Yes, you do.
Angela, can you think of something I can get Joe Gonzalez? Or do for him just to... Well, to let him know what... his saving Jen means to us.
Emily, I think it's impossible.
Yes, I guess you're right. When you think of the gift of Jen's life, what that's going to mean to all of us in the years to come.
You must have started the martinis when you heard me drive in.
That's just what I did. How did your day go?
Oh, not too bad. Where's Betsy? And Cora?
They're at the shopping center.
Christmas shopping?
Mm-hmm. Cora's planning to go home to Burtonsville next week.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. It's been nice having her here. Not to mention that I will miss her vegetable soup.
Is that the way you like your drink?
Yeah, it's just perfect.
I'm so glad you liked Cora.
Mm. Did you tell her about Betsy?
No, I didn't, Marsh. I kept our bargain.
Ginger, I wish you'd tell her. You see, she's so sensible, and maybe she could see the problem from a fresh viewpoint.
Marsh, why do you really think Betsy should be told she's adopted?
For the simple reason that she's going to find out someday, and I hate to think what it will do to her.
If we don't tell her, she can't find out.
Don't you think she has a right to know?
Why? It will only hurt her.
Honey, if you were Betsy, wouldn't you want to know?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, that was a foolish question, I guess.
I want her to feel secure and safe, and if she finds out she's adopted, she'll always wonder.
Ginger, darling, people don't feel the way they used to about being either illegitimate or adopted.
You can't tell how Betsy would feel.
I agree that it is a much bigger problem now since we've kept the truth from her for so long.
The important truth is for her to know that we love her and that she's our daughter.
All right. In all the 16 years, didn't you ever want to tell her?
Never. And you and I agreed we wouldn't even discuss it.
I know I did that, but I have a feeling that that lie is the basis of all the trouble you and I have had.
I don't see that at all.
I know you don't, Ginger.
She could have been our daughter.
By adoption, she is. and in some ways it's a stronger bond than if you had given birth to her.
Then why do you want to change that?
Because it's true. And truth is important to love.
I wonder if my car will be ready. Jason, drop me at the garage, will you please?
Yes, sure, Angela.
Don't you think Emily should be staying at home now, Jason?
Well, Angela, I don't think she can bear to be away from Jennifer right now.
Well, maybe after Jen is checked by a neurologist.
Well, Marsh gave me a copy of the article in the British Medical Journal that says there were no lasting effects in the case they reported on.
It was very encouraging, wasn't it?
Well, the other day when she was trying to feed herself, she said, "This is ridiculous. I know where my mouth is."
Well, she does keep trying.
Oh, she'll be all right, I'm sure.
Jason?
Mm-hmm?
When is Helen Anthony going back to Brixton?
Oh, I don't know. Soon, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure.
Why do you say that?
Well, just a feeling I have.
Well, Paul may have something to say about that.
Well, she's pretty strong-minded.
Yes, I guess he is. Or at least he used to be. Why should she want to stay on here?
I think because of you.
Now, Angela, where did you get that idea?
From my conversations with her.
Oh, really? What does she say?
Oh, well, she doesn't come right out and say she's madly in love with you, if that's what you mean. It's more, subtle than that.
Come on, you're just guessing. Just because there was something between us 20 years ago, that... What does she say?
There are casual, offhand references to that long-ago time, as you call it. But when she mentions it, it doesn't seem that long ago and far away.
Oh, I see. Has Emily said anything to you?
No, not yet.
Hmm?
Well, after all, she is pretty absorbed in Jennifer right now.
Oh, yes, yes.
But when Emily has time to notice other things, she's going to wonder about Helen. And also, by the way, why you haven't heard anything from Dr. Szabo.
Well, Marsh and I talked about that today.
Well, Emily's been wondering why it's taking him so long.
Well, Marsh is following through on it. Szabo said something about running the results through a computer.
Huh. What would we do without computers?
Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.